There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN TV program. We are broadcasting live, and it's Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. Today, we're blessed to have Mark Sutherland back on the program with us. Mark is our eyes and ears overseas in the UK. For those who don't know him, Mark regularly appears on the Christian Network Revelation TV Politics Today program, and he's a valued and widely followed commentator on American culture and politics from both sides of the Atlantic. He's also a film producer, researcher, and commentator, contributing regularly to more than 25 independent channels. We have our own problems here in the U.S., but there's a serious and growing troubling situation in the U.K. now, specifically censorship and the criminalization of free speech, which is now being labeled hate speech. People are being arrested for hate crimes, even for simply posting or commenting on social media. So, Mark, welcome back, and thanks for staying up late tonight where you live to be with us today.
Rob, it's good to join you. Good to join everyone. It's been a bit of a long time, but it's always a pleasure to be back and to join you, sir. So thank you very much.
I think you were last on in January, so yeah, it's been too long. So anyway, I'd like to discuss the overall situation of freedom of speech, you know, now being criminalized in the UK. And then after that, get into some specific cases that have made international news. But tell us what's going on over there.
You're absolutely right with what you raised at the beginning of the show. Yes, even though Keir Starmer sat in the White House a few weeks ago, saying, you know, we've always had free speech and we look forward to having free speech for many years to come. And many of us on this side of the pond, when he was out of the country, were rolling around in hysterics, because frankly, the only way to laugh, because he's an absolute liar. To give you an idea, we have what's called a non-hate crime process, where you are warned. It's not necessarily registered as a crime, but they will pull you up if they think you have said something that's inappropriate within the framework of what they wish to define. So every day in this country, there are 33 knocks on the door by the police Gestapo to then warn people about a meme or what they've posted, or they're having wrong things. So we've got that going on. As I'm sure that we'll go on to discuss, we, like you in various cities in London, in your country, we've had pro-Palestinian marches since the 8th of October 2023. It's become extremely wearing, big marches, particularly in London. We just had a huge march against anti-Semitism in London a couple of weeks ago, which I attended, along with attending the free speech rally that Tommy Robinson headed up just under 2 weeks ago as well. So, and suddenly there was a dispute about numbers and all that. So, Rob, you could talk to me about that in a minute. But just how that's been projected. We constantly have illegal immigration coming over the English Channel. They don't want to do anything about that to stop that. We then have up and down the country these illegals going into hotels. They are committing crimes, which such crimes as rape and sexual assault of young girls and women. This is a reality. And then sort of finally summing up right now, the Overton window, as we call it, in regard to what people feel that they can discuss publicly or discuss in the press, the Overton window has begun to move so that within our society we can discuss these. Now, for some Americans, I would understand that some of this is extremely, extremely shocking, because you would say, well, why hasn't this been discussed before? Well, people have tried to raise that, and previously, before this bunch of left-wing socialist Fabians came in into power last year, we had 14 years, inverted commas, of what we would call a conservative government. I would call them Tories, which are establishment, and they did nothing to really curb the illegal immigration and the legal immigration that's come into this country. And final comment on this, to put it in a context that people will understand. When Boris Johnson was Prime Minister, let's get Brexit done. He then oversaw a minimum of million and a half legal immigration coming in, which is, as you can imagine, for the size of a country like us, which is fits into Texas 2.5 times, it's far too much. You have had in the O'Biden regime. You had, according to incredible people like J.J. Carroll, you've had at least 11 million come over, and maybe even up to 50 million in some people's assessment. So that's where we are, Rob. We are not in a very, very good place, and we are bordering on being bankrupt. I can see the International Monetary Fund coming in. The government cannot run a drinks party in a pub, and that's putting it politely. And there are a lot of people that are, in a very British way, also extremely angry. But there are people also waking up to the fact that there seems to be a huge problem. But I will also put that in a biblical context, because we understand how the book ends. We come back to the book of Revelation and a control grid being built. And that's what is going on in this country. Rob.
Well, yeah, and I do want to get into the immigration aspect of things too. But let's stick with the censorship and the social media stuff here first. How many warnings, how many knocks on the door are you allowed before you're categorized a criminal instead of a non-hate, a non-criminal criminal?
I tried to
make sense of that, and it did make sense to me. So.
You ask a really, really good question. In fact, in many ways, it's something I haven't really thought about. I suppose what would happen is that if someone then knocked on your door, accused you of saying something, and then you just said, "Well, what is this?" You fully understood your rights in regard to whether whether a particular police force could even enter your house. They can't do. They have to, in our law, they have to have a warrant for your arrest. If they're not there to arrest you, then you can refuse to them to come in, as long as you are polite. If they are going to arrest you, as I say, there needs to be a warrant. But I suppose for some people, and there have been people over here that have been pulled up, harassed, they want to shut down people's speaking out. We look at one particular gentleman called Alex Belfield, who has been shut down. I asked people to look into his case. Then, of course, you would then have people like dear Katie Hopkins as well, who under more recently, again, I think, has been arrested. There is harassment there as well. And, of course, Tommy Robinson. So I suppose, Rob, in Tommy's case, because someone is not stopping, but out of people out of the headlines, as I said earlier, there's 33 a day. I know of personally people where the police have been round, but nothing has then gone from that point. Fortunately, we have as a wonderful group called the Free Speech Union, where you pay fees and they will then help you to defend yourself if need be. If you want to move on, as you said at the beginning, if you want to move, the Graham Lynham case is really, really is a very, very important case. I think will be good to discuss if you want to get into specifics.
But that's actually my next
question. Rob, I'd just like to say this, that the non-hate crime stuff again came in under a Conservative government, a new Home Secretary, as we had then, Suala Braverman, was saying, well, these needs to stop. Then as soon as this Labour government came in, Yvette Cooper, who is so left-wing, I think she's fallen off the left-wing cliff, then pushed forward these non-hate crimes again to then be registered. So that is what is going on. But the Graham Lynham case is an interesting one to discuss, Rob.
Okay, so he's a writer, and he was arrested by five police officers after landing at Heathrow Airport. His crime was posting on Twitter or X about transgenders invading women's spaces. So tell us about Graham and his situation.
I have a link with Graham, not that I know him, but he wrote a wonderful, very funny comedy show that was very famous over here, and I'd also say worldwide. One of them was Father Ted, which is brilliant. And I, on a personal level, the last series of Father Ted, I actually worked in the television series in London then at the time, helping to put the set up. So I would never have thought all these years later that I would be commenting on what poor Graham has been through, because politically in the past, Graham would have called himself maybe left of centre in regard to his political thinking. Graham has been an extremely brave man, because he then got very much involved in the whole transgender fight and just explaining and saying that there's only two sexes, which of course there is. And the fact that he has been defending women in regard to that, men who then call themselves women or dress up in that female garb, then say I'm a woman, and then they're invading a female spaces. Graham has really kicked back at that, as well as people that are known, famous in regard to people like J.K. Rowling, for argument's sake. I'm not promoting the books. I'm just referencing who she is, because people do know who she is. So they have been very vociferous in pushing back. We then had a ruling in this country that we had to leave it to the courts to actually define that there is only two sexes, male and female. And once that, then the Prime Minister of this country, who was asked about can a woman grow a penis, and didn't answer that question with no straight away, which is something that people should look up on YouTube. There are a number of idiot politicians who have also come out with the same nonsense. So Graham has actually left the Fair Isle of the UK. Graham is actually Irish. He's an Irish citizen. So here's the interesting complexity. So he because of pushing in regard to protecting women in their own spaces and pushing against transgender, he was turning Father Ted into a musical, and which would have been a very, very famous musical and would have been financially very beneficial to him. Quite rightly, that fell apart. because of his cost of following of what he believes in. He lost his marriage, house, everything. So he has paid a very, very heavy cost for that. Not because I'm wanting, that's publicly out there, but this is important to say because of the cost of what he has bore in this situation. He was shunned by the TV world, a bit of a world I do know about. Some of the people that he would have worked with, called upon, I worked with myself, but in a totally different role from as crewing. So he was shunned. He has been shunned by the TV and media. No one has really stood up for him, including someone where they've actually benefited by their career being launched by being attached or being part of his TV series, Father Ted. He's also wrote a wonderful series called Black Books and also The IT Crowd. Some of those, have translated over to America. So Graham then landed. He was coming back for a court case, being taken to court. He was flying back into the country, and he was arrested, as you say, by five policemen. Our policemen are not normally armed, but if they are armed, that all the policewomen that are around our airports are armed. So that would have made the story look even worse. But he was arrested, bundled into a van. And basically, he had done some tweets a few months ago, maybe even in April, if my memory served me correct. Sorry if I've got that wrong, April or May, while he was in America, because he now is in America. And he sent those tweets. Someone complained about him. On the whole transgender issue, there are one or two people on that side that believe in this that are so litigious, it's ridiculous. And they seem to have a backing to really, really push that. And because Graham has a public profile, some of that public profile, there's no doubt that he would have never wanted to ask, because all he's wanted to do is to write comedy. But he has been very bravely indeed drawn into this fight. Hence the fight that he has then brought to it. So he was arrested, bundled off, so much so when he turned around and said, you know, what are you arresting me for? This is an outrage. And the poor guy's blood pressure went through the roof, that he eventually had to go to accidents and emergency to be seen to check that he was all right, and to then help bring his blood pressure down. And I don't think, and I will pray that this doesn't happen, because he's a really important voice. I'm sure that on the other side of that, that people would have been celebrating the fact that it caused this dear man a lot of harm. And I will say this, a man that has brought a lot of hilarity through his art, through his writing, to millions of people. And what is so sad, and I know that you do, Rob, and I know that anyone else listening, that when the proverbial hits the fan, we really do find out who our friends are, don't we? And poor Graham has actually done that. So the tweets, I'm not sure what the tweets were, but they're measurably along the lines of defending women's free spaces, along these kinds of lines, and various people then took objection to that. Rob.
Well, yeah, I looked it up. There were three tweets, and they were exactly that. They actually arrested him. Has he been charged? Has he been jailed for this?
He hasn't been jailed. He has been released. He is going to, as far as I know, he is actually going to sue. Understandably, he's going to sue the Metropolitan Police, as far as I know, and he will be very wonderfully assisted in that by the Free Speech Union. What is happening over here, Rob, is that we now have a really, really good body group called the Free Speech Union that was set up by Toby Young, now Lord Toby Young, which is in the House of Lords, and defending free speech and speaking out on various issues. And we now find ourselves, especially if we are then talking like we are within this media sphere, having to protect ourselves by joining groups like the Free Speech Union to protect ourselves if people turn around and say, we don't agree with what you're saying and we're hurty words and we've all been offended. So that's the position we are in. And as you quite rightly say, I draw attention to the tweets that he has then tweeted. Thanks, Rob.
So, all right. Well, let's get into Tommy Robinson, who's also been persecuted in the UK for decades. If you look him up online, you're not going to find anything positive. I'll just let you know that now. And I have just a brief synopsis of what I found. The internet calls him a British anti-Islam campaigner and one of the UK's most prominent far-right activists with a history of criminal convictions. His description also says he was a member of the British National Party, a British fascist political party from 2004 to 2005. Is the British National Party a fascist political party? I mean, those are pretty strong words.
Tommy Robinson. Tommy is, as far as I'm concerned, I'd just like to put this on record, is an extremely brave man. And like all of us, we evolve, we change, we may, you know, some of our behavior, etc., it changes over time. None of us are perfect, but just for the record, nor am I particularly. But the key is that he has been consistent and speaking out from his experience in Luton, from his experience of having relatives, other friends, girls where those girls are being sexually assaulted, then noticing the changes of the demographics in his area, etc. Now, you know, the EDL was something that he started to speak out against this, and being someone then who was a very keen football fan, then that was a good combination in regard to addressing these issues. Tommy Robinson is not racist. He is not far right. According to the press, then the 1.2 million plus, and I'm going to say that figure, even though the BBC and all the rest would disagree, that marched on the Freedom of Speech march that he led at the front, then we're all called far right, including me. What I find absolutely fascinating is if you push back and ask them to define what far right is, they then have no idea, because they're not going to bring up Mussolini, who was a genuine fascist. They then, of course, call you Hitler, you're a Nazi. What's very interesting, when they use the term Nazi, they forget it means National Socialist Workers' Party. They then forget or refuse to understand that it's a socialism within a national state, which, of course, Hitler invaded other states. We're looking at communism, socialism on steroids, in the fact that they want that worldwide, which is what they are actually pushing now. There was a very short period of a few months, as they're alluding to, as Tommy would talk about, that he was joined the National Front, which in many ways you would look back and say, no, that may have not been a very good idea at the time. And in I don't want to put words in his mouth, but as he said, you know, you evolve as a young person. Growing up into an adult, you then work out that wasn't politically a good idea. I'm evolving from that. And if you look at his background, of course, and who he knows, the last thing that you would ever call Tommy Robinson a racist. And again, he is someone that has been, I'd just say, I don't know him personally. I would be honored to meet him. But the bottom line is that he has been vilified and he has been proven right. And that's the truth of it. Over here, within the public discourse, within the public square, we have really, really suffered from really being put down if you then just say, well, we need to discuss immigration is far too much. You immediately get tainted with being a racist and all the rest. And I'd like to say that on just quickly in that regard, on the march on that Saturday, there were people from all different backgrounds, and they were all from people from all different colors and creeds that were there on that day. So Tommy, that is my opinion, Rob. And the thing is, you know, when you look at incredible interviews that he's done when he was on Good Morning Britain in regard to Piers Morgan, he has warned about Islam like the incredible Rayman Ibrahim does, like Jay Smith do, and any Andy Woods, any other apologetic person who is warning us about Islam. And let's distinguish here. There would be a number of Muslims in this country that are very, very, that is their, it's an ethnic background. Islam is not an ethnicity. And what we are now found ourselves is that the centrist globalist two wings of the same bird party, I'm trying to be polite, that are now within Parliament, including an ex-Conservative MP, I think Dominic Greaves. I don't think Dominic Greaves is a member of Parliament now. I apologise if I've got that wrong. Have then been meeting in a group that not many people, not that much publicised, where they are pushing the Muslim Brotherhood mandate to then help you move from your victimization construct. You then shout Islamophobia as much as possible, so that you can then shut down any discourse in talking about Islam and the history of Islam. Remember that Islam as a word means submission. So I am talking facts. The unfortunate thing is that on the other side, they don't like you talking facts. Rob?
Yeah, absolutely not. So anyway, Tommy recently led a march, as you indicated, and for free speech in London, and you were there. We have a video clip. Spencer, if you can pull up video number one. Let's look quickly at this, and then Mark, you can tell us about your experience there. Well, Mark, it looks to me like this so-called fascist has a lot of support. was there any backlash? I mean, are there actual citizens in the UK that are in favor of this censorship and banning free speech?
Well, yes. I mean, there's a group called Stop Hate. If you then work out where that is then funded from, I haven't done a lot of investigation into that. Others have, but you could may end up, finding that it's got a few familiar actors and maybe even people like George Soros type funding. But there are, people that, of course, that object, say that we're wrong. What's very interesting, just talk through that video, you don't really have them in America. I think maybe there is one somewhere in an American state, which is called a roundabout, where you're driving down the road and there's this big circle in the middle and you have to drive around it and then you've got exits off.
Roundabouts everywhere we turn.
Okay. Well, just at the beginning of that footage is a big roundabout. It's what's a very sort of bit of a famous landmark now called the IMAX. That's it. Thank you. That's the IMAX cinema. But if you see the road that's going off with all the people there, we were in that road. That road was the beginning of the muster point. Now, the amount of people, if you go back and back and back, if people afterwards, I'd ask people to do a bit of a geography lesson, look up a map of London. If you then go from Blackfriars Bridge all the way to Westminster Bridge, and then on the other side of the Thames, that's the south side, but on the north side of the Thames, there were people again coming in to Parliament Square from Victoria. They were then coming in to the Strand and Trafalgar Square, which is up at the top end of Whitehall. There was, according to the BBC et al., only 100,000 people there. I think we will call that out as complete and utter BS. Some people safely have gone. There was only 500,000. Well, I personally think there was 1 million plus. Now, at that point, when we were standing there, there were 3 helicopters, hence why you've got those shots flying over. I think one of them had actually been hired by Tommy Robinson's organization or Urban Scoop to film all that. There were thousands and thousands of people on the streets. I've never seen so many Union Jacks, George Crosses together in one place. There was also one or two Israeli flags, which was fantastic as well. There was also the wonderful traditional Persian flag, which, of course, relates to the people of Persia that are being suppressed in Iran. They also turned up in regard to the march against anti-Semitism. That had happened the week before, and there was only 70,000 people there. The march against anti-Semitism was then able to then meet at the end and have speeches in Parliament Square. This was not allowed to then congregate in Parliament Square or congregate in Trafalgar Square. You would have heard of Trafalgar Square. So it's got Nelson's Column. You'll be very aware of Parliament Square outside our Parliament, which they've just put a 9-foot metal fence up, which is rather interesting. So they were not allowed to do that. And days before the march was going to take place, there was a video online where Tommy Robinson is talking to the local police, liaising with them. It's a very wonderful phone call, because Westminster Council, who give the license to this, remember the Mayor of London is Sadiq Khan. We'll try and be polite, but it's rather difficult where that man is particularly concerned. And they were really in many ways fighting to arguing about the setup of the stage. People need to go in there and set it up from 10 o'clock at night, put speakers. So suddenly they were all raising a few objections to that. It was a very interesting phone call. So it was squeezed into Whitehall. And one of the big concerns that Tommy had was, if we're not going to have speakers there, then if we need to give instructions in regard to people's safety, then we're not going to be able to do that. We need speakers to be able to do that. Fortunately, those speakers went up. And just quickly, I'm going to add a caveat and ask people to look this up. Andrew Bridgen, the ex-MP of the UK, who may be very well known to a number of viewers because of him speaking out against the 19 COVID nonsense and the jabs. He was supposed to speak there. They didn't get round to his speech. Things ran over time. And the license was, whether, I'm not sure what hour that went up to, but they went over time. And he has then said in an interview that the organizers, and of course Tommy, were then concerned that the police were lining up for a baton charge because they wanted the speech to the rally to stop, because they were saying it's going over a license time. Many people are not aware of that, and that's only been drawn to my attention recently by comments that he has made. But I will say this to you, Rob. The march was in wonderful good spirits. We then made it to Westminster Bridge. We couldn't make it into Whitehall. I mean, that whole area, I used to work around there at some point on and off. I know it extremely well, as I do London. But the issue is this, where we're on Westminster Bridge and then suddenly the heavens opened up and rain came down that I had not seen the like of for a long time. It didn't come down straight down. It came at an angle. So that's even more challenging. And people took that in extremely good humour and were very helpful and understanding. And then if people wanted to turn back and say, no, we're not going to go forward, the police have blocked us, which they had, people did that in very, very good humour. The behaviour, I did not see any poor but bad behaviour, even though it's then being reported that 25 arrests were made. And if I've got my facts right, a majority of those were on the other side when a Stop Hate group rallied of no more than 5,000. And as they admitted, they were profoundly defeated with the amount of people on the other side. I want to say this, that a very well-known presenter of a programme on Sunday television over here called Trevor Phillips, and Trevor Phillips is a black man, he had gone out on the march to find out, for himself. To find out measurably, Rob, you know, he was a fascist and all the rest. And as he said, I met people that you would, paraphrasing his words, ordinary people. I met people that you would find down an English pub, you know, ordinary citizens. And to be all credit to him, at that point, he then reported it by saying those words, being extremely fair. I think in time he might have downplayed the amount of people that were there because they don't want to admit that. I'm not saying in Trevor's case, but in other cases in regard to the authorities, they don't want to admit that. But as Trevor has said, you know, people have got to pay attention. The authorities have to pay attention to the concerns that people are having. Now, I'm just going to slightly segue just quickly because I didn't mention this at the top of the hour at the beginning. One of the other things that's gone on recently, and people were there because of this as well, is that we have had, because of all these illegal aliens coming over by the plastic boat being picked up by the Royal National Lifeboat Association and all this, sort of seen from far France, not stopped in France. Remember, you may not know this, but we have given hundreds of million pounds to the French authorities to stop this illegal migration of rubber boats. They don't seem to stop that. The rubber boats come over here and then they seem to find themselves back in France. That's another story, how that even happens. But that's been exposed. But we have seen these illegal immigrants being put in hotels up and down this country. And there has been a standoff in two areas, but one extremely publicized that kicked this off, which is in Epping in Essex, which surrounds London. That there's been a protest, a very, very calm and orderly protest outside there. And then a group started of incredible women to protest there called the Pink Ladies, and their anthem, you know, being a Neil Diamond song, Sweet Caroline, etc., which is a fantastic song, but people singing that as a really for unity, but these women were being protesting outside Epping. They've also been protesting outside a hotel, a very expensive hotel in Canary Wharf. And Canary Wharf is our banking system. Just up, just a bit further up the road from there, you will end up being in Canary Wharf. But going back to Epping, there's been a standoff at what's called the Bell Hotel. This hotel was bang next door to a school. And as you can imagine, if you are a parent of girls, of young girls, you would be very, very concerned about those two mixing. The school had been warning, and then one of the illegals there had then sexually assaulted a young girl, was arrested, given a 12-month prison sentence, which is just ridiculous. So going back to Tommy has been bravely, wonderfully at the front of exposing all the grooming gangs up and down this country, from Rotherham, Telford, etc., which has not gone down very well. Well, it's what that behaviour is just absolutely appalling. And when you look at the figures and you work out, because these people have been arrested, that a lot of these guys have an origin of being Pakistani, you are then criticized for even saying that, when you were looking at the culture where they have actually come from and how they then conduct themselves. And the other thing is that it's taken a long time to be at a point where we will get the figures to work out who they are arresting and where they are from, etc., to build a picture of that. The other thing is, a few months ago, there's been a big push for an inquiry up and down for the whole of this country. The Labour Party have tried to resist that and break that down in regard to local inquiries. Well, there's been inquiry after inquiry, but it has been suppressed. And this is my opinion, in the fact that, yes, it's been suppressed, because you could then argue it's been quite convenient, because that is a voting bloc that the Labour Party get a lot of votes from. Tony Blair set up the postal votes. We have a huge issue with that, as you had a huge issue with postal voting and ballot stuffing in your 2020 presidential election. So this gives you a bit of a background to what was going on. But it was quite amazing to be on that march. And yes, there were one or two Christian voices from the stage. There was talk about the Judeo-Christian heritage of this nation, needing to get back to that. And one or two voices, and also I will push this, which is very important, that it cannot be cultural Christianity. I think in this country, we have had the veneer of cultural Christianity over the last 50, 60 years, well, before that, but I would say since the Second World War, which seems to have been holding or giving the illusion of the culture not changing and then staying together. But that bubble has really burst. And our challenge is, Rob, and as much as this is the uncomfortable part of the conversation, just finally out of this, is that cultural Christianity is going to get anyone nowhere, right? You can't adopt that. It is about our own individual living relationship with Jesus. That's what's going to get us through. Now, we don't have time to discuss eschatology or the end times. I personally believe we are in that by what we see. But we, at the moment, our country seems to be on a fast track to tyranny. And as you alluded to, that you have problems in America, well, I'm going to reflect back to you to say, yes, you do, to look at what's happening in Texas, to look at the amount of houses by a particular demographic that have been bought up around the Dallas airport. You look at Minnesota, you look at people like Omar, you look at 80,000 Somalians being brought into America and put into a particular area. You need to pay attention to that, plus other people that are pushing Sharia law, even in inside Texas. So there are
is a whole other can of worms, Mark. And I wish we had time to get into that, but I know more about that situation in Texas than I have said. Just to let our viewers know, you may want to check on who's purchasing land, who's involved in land deals in a settlement, which is huge, just north of Houston.
Yep.
And I think you'll be surprised to find out the name Greg Abbott. But moving on, I want to get back to, just to give people an idea, this is a short video clip where police came to arrest a child for a social media post. If you have video too, let's look at that very quickly.
Escalate this cyber. So, but with a voluntary interview.
So have you seen anyone else? Is she the only child you're picking on?
Voluntary interview. You'd be able to come.
Have you spoken to anyone else? No, we'll come to the station now.
Do you mind letting her finish her sentence before the officers have to get further escalation, unfortunately?
That's fine, we'll come to the station now.
The phone isn't seized right now, and we're not able to basically get the phone. We have to escalate this further, which means your daughter will get arrested.
For what? You in a social media post? Is that?
I need to go with that in order to.
No, absolutely not.
What can we do to prevent destruction of evidence?
I'm sorry. That's fine. I would like you to leave now. I'd like you to leave. I have nothing more to say to you. A social media post. I've got nothing more to say. I'd like you to leave. You've harassed this child enough. I'd like you to leave.
Lisa, that's no worries.
So, Mark, I noticed it looks like one of those police ladies is Islamic. Is that right?
Well, yes, that's an observation. Put that aside. The key thing is that they had no right to enter that lady's house.
No, I was surprised that they did.
Yeah, they didn't have a warrant. This story is evolving. I'd ask people to check out the Black Belt Barrister, who is a wonderful YouTube channel. He is a barrister, and he is working now, I think, on this case pro bono for the mother and the daughter. So if you look at how this is conducted, these police officers, to me, there's complete lack of training. Look at how young they are. I don't know how many common purpose training courses they've done. And the fact that they are then sent out to go and talk to people in that way. Rob, do you want to, is there any other video that, or even if the first couple of minutes of that third of that one that you were just lining up is wrong?
Yeah, I was actually going to show the first 4.5 minutes of video three.
Go for it.
In the UK. Is free speech under threat in the UK? With the rise of so-called non-crime hate incidents, arrests over grossly offensive memes, and the government's online safety bill threatening to clamp down on social media posts, can you really speak your mind in 21st century Britain? To find out, I spoke to Harry Miller, a former police officer who has had several run-ins with the law over supposedly offensive online posts. Harry Miller, your name has become synonymous with people who have been dealt with the police because of their offensive tweeting. Can you explain to viewers exactly what's happened to you recently and also in the past in your relationship with the police?
They came to me because I tweeted about gender-critical content. I'd famously retweeted what they described as a limerick. It wasn't a limerick, it was a piece of feminist doggerel. Nevertheless, somebody, don't know who they were, they decided that this was had caused them great offence, and they contacted Humberside Police, and Humberside Police then contacted me. essentially what they said was that even though I committed no crime, if I continued not committing crime, that could in some weird way escalate to crime. I don't understand the magic behind that. I never have done. Nevertheless, that's what they said.
Okay, so can you explain your High Court victory against the police? What happened there?
After the police got involved with me, I realised that this was a breach of my human rights, Article 10 specifically. So we took homicide police to the High Court. Weirdly, we won. When the police come against you because you have said something that is controversial or because some trans person somewhere decided that they didn't like it, that when they take that trans person's moan seriously and they come and try and censor you, that is entirely illegal. And Mr. Justice Knowles equated it to the Gestapo and the Stasi. He said, we've never had a Gestapo or a Stasi in Britain. The actions of homicide police came way too close for comfort, and we now have a precedent set in the High Court that when the police do that again, we can just tell them, no, 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 no.
What do you say to people who don't particularly like you, don't like what you're saying?
I say tough. I really don't care whether you like me. There is only one question that needs to be asked. Are we on the right side of the law? It's absolutely immaterial whether you like us or whether you like our message. Providing we stay law-abiding, the police have no right whatsoever to interfere with our freedom of expression.
You may be wondering what exactly is the legal justification for arresting people over their tweets. I went to Lincoln's Inn to speak to Dr. Anna Lutfi, an equality and human rights barrister, to understand the law around freedom of speech and how it's under threat. So what actually is a non-crime hate incident?
That's an excellent question, Stephen, and I think it's one that you should ask Priti Patel, our Home Secretary, because I don't think anyone knows by this stage. We have policies that have been drafted and exist in writing, and if you go to the College of Policing website and Google non-crime hate incidents in the search engine, you'll find what purports to be a definition, but I mean, good luck with that. You could be a PhD in linguistics and make no sense of it. It's utterly incoherent. It's basically the idea that if somebody finds something offensive and they report it to the police as such, then that person hasn't committed a criminal offence, but they've committed a non-crime incident which has some consequences akin to having committed a criminal offence. Basically, in Orwellian terms, a non-crime crime. Will it be recorded against your name? That would be at the arbitrary discretion of the police officer involved. Will it show up on a DBS check? It might not. Is it something that's likely to affect you negatively in your career as you apply for jobs? Possibly. These are all questions that go unanswered, and they very much rest on the individual case-by-case basis, which is not, as you may well appreciate, the basis for a sound democratic legal system. We are now living in a society where using social media puts you automatically at risk.
Human rights is a...
Okay, we can stop there. We're going to run out of time. Before we run out of time, anyone in our audience have any questions or comments you'd like to make? Just raise your hand. Now is the chance. Betty.
Yeah, you're nailing it, Mark. You know, the Islam and... In Minnesota, they just passed a law where they can do their worship services, you know, when they go, they can do that. So I would not be happy living in Minneapolis. I heard a Brigadier General bought 200 square miles of Texas. Wouldn't that be something if they came to your door and said, hey, guess what? Get out. We own you now. So people need to wake up. This stuff's going on. You are so great. You're nailing it. And I love that protest you had.
Well, you know, what's happening in the UK now is where the left would love to take the US. Thankfully, I think there are a little bit of brakes being applied right now, but that's where they would love to take us.
Can I just make a comment to say before anyone on your side of the pond, I mean this politely and respectfully, say, why are you letting all these people in? Many of us have voted not to do that. Many of us do not want those people coming in. You went through absolute hell under the O'Biden era. Now you also under the Obama era had all these flights coming in that were not registered. There is a thought here that maybe that kind of thing is going on. I'm not going to say any more until I even have proof of that, even though someone's spoken out about that. No, we don't have guns. I am not responsible for the fact that that all disappeared by 1925. We have a completely different setup, and partly that is along the lines of policing by consent. But we have now reached a point in our society where common sense has gone. Experience, that's the last thing they want. They don't want patriots involved who actually love their country involved anywhere. That all has to be borne in mind. And I say this politely, as Betty has just very kindly pointed out, and with what Rob said, be an interesting discussion off air, Rob, to talk about that, is that there is things going on in America that people very, very quickly need to wake up on. And you cannot just leave it to your president, who I have to say, because I was commenting on a channel, thought you made a fantastic speech in the UN which I thoroughly enjoyed, in his very braggadocious way. But you cannot leave it up to a president. There are also other things that are going on, just quickly, final seconds. The big thing that they want to push over here is digital ID. That was pushed under Tony Blair, tried it. That was pushed back a few years ago because of the COVID nonsense. Blair and William Hague, supposedly a conservative. I question that. Tony Blair, Labour, New Labour, if not Fabian, were pushing that again. Now they are wanting to push that again because if you have a load of illegal migrants coming in, then you need to know who they are. So what you do, you bring in an ID to suppress the citizens of the country that were born here. Then we know where you are. Then we begin to control your banking, control everything about you. So there needs to be a pushback against that. So be aware. We need your prayers. Please do not just write us off. I say it respectfully. I have many friends on your side of the pond. You know that. Please don't write us off and think that we're not aware of what's going on or have even tried to push back. As you know the work of dear Tommy Robinson and what he has been doing for a long time. And just finally, the church in this country is an utter disgrace. It believes in woke ideology than actually what scripture says. So, but there are a number of Christians who are awake, but as God says, there will always be a remnant. Rob, thank you.
Well, yeah, you are basically dealing with the same things that we are. The censorship thing that you're dealing with is much more intense for you, I think, than it is for us. Although who knows how long reprieve we're going to have. So, but
you have to be, so just quickly, you have to be aware of companies like Palantir that were started by the right. CIA with a $360 million investment. Please go and do your research and then you can tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not wrong. There are others, including Google. The beast system and the control grid is here. Wake up.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So your website is marksutherland.org, but as you told me, that's not been updated. Where can people find the most current information from you?
I have the Sutherland Report. Look that up on YouTube. That's my YouTube channel. There's 241 interviews on there. Find me on X at Sutherland Report. In time, the website will be upgraded. And then as you very kindly quickly threw up, I want to draw your attention to where is Jonah Reef. If you're able to put that graphic up, that'd be great. But this is a pushback to expose child trafficking. Look up that video. Please watch it. Where is Jonah Reef? You can find it on YouTube and share it and join in and support that. That would be much appreciated. That's happening on your side of the pond. Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. All right. So marksutherland.org or the Sutherland Report on YouTube, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. Folks, I will see you next week, same time. We're going to be talking with an expert on the topic of artificial intelligence. It's going to be a very eye-opening presentation, so you want to make sure you're here next week. In the meantime, share this program, and I will see you next week. God bless.